Hey, welcome back to the fourth episode of the Keepin' Cozy podcast. Today we have a really cool guest. His name is Maubod Mogadam. He is the controversial co-founder of Rap Genius. You've probably used Rap Genius if you have Spotify because they do behind the lyrics, or if you've ever watched one of their really famous YouTube videos called Verified, where they get rappers to break down the lyrical interpretations of their songs. Outside of that, he's a really interesting character. He was born in California to Iranian, Persian, Jewish refugees, went to school at Yale, then went to California to study law at Stanford. And in 2009, he built Rap Genius with his homies from Yale. And it's just done really well. It's a $1 billion company. And today he's going to talk to you guys about cryptocurrency, his journey with Rap Genius and creating a company like that. And then also a little bit about his time getting pranked on Sacha Baron Cohen's show, Who is America? So hopefully this is a really cool episode, and I hope you stay tuned for the really long episode. Thank you for being here. It means a lot that you are doing this. So,
yeah.
So I kind of want to start by talking about you being an immigrant. So are your parents immigrants from Iran to California? And could you talk a little bit about being a Persian in, you know, Los Angeles, which was it at that time as commonplace? Because now, you know, you see a lot of Persians in LA.
Yeah, so I'm the only one in my family who was born in America. I'm the youngest. So my brother, two sisters, they were born in Iran. My parents never really learned English. Like, I'm still trying to teach English to my mom right now. And it's because right when they came over, that's when all the Persians came over, especially Jewish. The Jewish ones all came to LA. That's just kind of the place everyone got told to go. And they were going because they were scared. They sent over my brother because they were scared he's going to get drafted into the war with Iraq. And then they came over 2 years later because it started to look like an Islamic revolution. And they said, it's not going to be friendly for Jews. Jews got scared. And it's kind of weird being a Persian Jew in LA. It's not a culture I'm really cool with. We have some big tech founders, like the guy who started Tinder is a Persian Jewish guy. But overall, I see it as anti-tech. Like, even though there are like these big, like LA Persian names, a lot of the people, especially the rich ones. So like, I'm poor, but the rich ones do real estate, and I hate real estate. I think I hated it because my dad always wished that he owned land, and the only thing we owned was our house, and we had like this house. It was a big house, but we didn't have any money to tend to it. So I've always hated big houses. I hate these Persians who live in Beverly Hills and like they invest their money in houses. I think that's the stupidest thing you can invest in. Like, if you invest in tech, you're investing in ideas. You're investing in things that can actually make a difference. But if you're investing in real estate, I guess like if you're doing construction, you're like actually building stuff, but that's just not as important to me as building websites. Yeah. I think it's so much more interesting. That's like the animal world, whereas tech is the intellectual world.
Well, I mean, so you didn't have like any, I know you mentioned once that you kind of sometimes wish that you were just a corporate lawyer. Is that like still true or?
Kind of, yeah. All of these corporate jobs. So my that reaction was when I started Genius and all the interviews, people would ask me like, so you're lucky you got into tech and you don't have to wear a suit. And I'm like, actually, I love suits. I love fashion. Like, I feel bad that I never have an excuse. In tech, everyone just wants you to wear your hoodie and your startup shirt. And I got brainwashed. Like, you know, every day I'm wearing either a Genius shirt or an Everpedia shirt.
Yeah.
But sometimes I wish I could, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. So it would have been cool to be a grown up, but I'm an entrepreneur. This is what I do right now. I'm writing a book about how to build a startup right now. I'm still glad I went to law school.
I think
right now I've got a breakdown of all of the legal things you got to know, basically to start the next Facebook.
Yeah, and in your book, are you gonna like detail that, or is that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. It's something that you could learn in like a week. but a lot of legal issues, especially startup legal issues, are about secrecy. Sometimes I'll even talk to very high-level lawyers who don't know the basic things about startup finance. And there's not even that many firms that do it. Like there's one firm that kind of figured out this is going to be hot, and they basically became Y Combinator's official firm. It's called ORIC.
What is it called?
ORIC. It's one of the big firms, but they're basically the one that became the original startup law firm.
I see.
That's Genius's firm. And then Everpedia's firm is Cooley. Cooley
Hooli.
was kind of copying ORIC. Like they were giving deals to startups where you don't have to pay them until you raise money, deferring the fees.
I mean, so I guess before we kind of go into the crypto stuff, I definitely want to know a little bit about like what was like the golden era of Genius like for you? Because I guess like you go from just decoding lyrics in your room to like all of a sudden meeting Nas and like Eminem and like knowing that these like guys who you idolized, like they're like using your product and they like it, or like living with Chance the Rapper.
So Verified has had two stages. The stage where it became famous was after I left. Right after I left, we did the yellow screen. I still don't know who came up with the yellow screen, but that's like my that's the smartest thing Genius has done since I left. Everyone is hitting me up all day. They're like, "Get me a yellow screen. I want to be on the yellow screen." That's like our blue check mark. And then also hiring Rob Markman. Rob Markman is the guy who, he's a rapper. He knows all the rappers. He's actually legit. Those both happened after I left. So what I was doing, I was trying to get rappers to use Genius as a product themselves. And to this day, that's what I'm doing. Like all of these rappers hit me up on Instagram. They're like, "Get me a yellow screen." And I'm like, "Yo, before you get a yellow screen, you can just use the site yourself. Go put up your lyrics, break down your meanings." And a lot of times the response is like, "Wait, I can do that? I thought you have to put up my lyrics. I thought I can only explain it if you give me the video, the interview with the yellow screen." Disappointing. And I'm trying to make it, I hope that my co-founders agree that it should be based on who is using the site themselves. Like if some hot rapper, like Chance the Rapper, you brought him up. So Chance the Rapper was living with me in the Rap Genius house for a while. But he was really gung-ho about the product. He's also very tech savvy. So the product had a lot of bugs and it was so annoying. Like you're with a rapper, it's like, "Wait, your video didn't save." That was annoying. But Chance was good with all that. He was really tech savvy himself, so he was like making all these funny ass videos.
I mean, you talk a lot about like him decoding his own lyrics and like how he would just like make it fun. And like when I think of like Rap Genius, I mainly see it on my iPhone when I'm like watching Spotify or listening to Spotify, and you just like see the lyrics, and like when it's like done creatively, it actually does make so much of a difference than when it just like tells you exactly what's
I
necessary.
love Behind the Lyrics. I love Behind the Lyrics. And that, so not to be annoying, but that was kind of my idea too. Right when Genius started, we had something called the Video Breakdown. We were basically trying to do our own version of Spotify Behind the Lyrics. And that was all my idea. I forced Tom to do it. We ended up pulling it because it just had too many bugs. It was too hard for us to build. But my inspiration for that came from VH1 Pop-Up Video. That was one of my favorite shows when I was a teenager. I was always watching Pop-Up Video. And this wasn't my idea, it was Tom's idea, the CEO. But when Tom told me about this, one of the first things I thought is like, "Oh, like we're gonna do a hip-hop pop-up video." So this is the culmination, is the Spotify Behind the Lyrics. That happened after I left, so I'm always curious what the partnership is. I hope Spotify is hooking us up because that's one of the best things on Spotify. And then it seems to me like we have a bigger partnership with Apple Music. So I would like to have the same exact thing on Apple. Or maybe just Apple can buy us. Apple buys Genius. I get paid. And then we pull it from Spotify. And then if you want Behind the Lyrics, you have to go to Apple.
No, dude, I think it's actually like one of the main reasons I like Spotify is
Yeah,
just
it's hot. It's hot. It's fun. It's addictive.
I think there's a lot of like like Get Out racism that you see, like the white liberal racism. And I guess like growing up in Long Island or growing up in California, you definitely experience a lot of that, where it's like
epicenters. New York and California, they're the epicenter. For me, the most important part of the whole thing is intermarriage.
sure.
That's where it really counts. Like, that's how, if you're a fake ass is like, oh, woke, Black Lives Matters, Black Lives Matters. Meanwhile, here's my significant other who's the exact same race I am. And like, if you think about it, if you have kids with people who are the same race you are, your kids are going to be genetically inferior and you're contributing to racism and hate. So like, that's the only way you can really truly be real. And like, shouts out to Ben Horowitz. Ben Horowitz, who's the big investor in Genius. The main reason I respect him is his wife is Black American, Felicia. She's from South LA, and he basically married her whole family. Like, he's part of her family.
I kind of want to talk to you about like your relationship with the internet. I remember like watching an interview of you and you were saying that like for you the internet is like better than TV because you can interact with it. And it reminded me of like Willy Wonka with like Mike TV, if you've seen it, where he like grabs the like chocolate bar and then he like goes into it. And it's like, yeah, could you talk a little bit about like that kind of like your relationship with the internet and like how.
Well, that please don't use that metaphor because I hate sugar. Sugar is the enemy.
Okay.
Lot of times I think about that, but so like I think sugar, the only thing that's worse than sugar is caffeine. But sugar's up there. Like, sugar's another upper. It's basically the devil. It's ruining our society. A lot of these weirdos, a lot of these 4chan weirdos are also addicted to sugar.
This is tea, not caffeine. It's
Is it?
tea. It's
Yeah.
green tea. It's green tea
Yeah.
caffeine. Caffeinated?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's killing you. No, don't drink that shit. Yeah, so Willy Wonka, though, I think Ronald, the Roald Dahl, the guy who wrote the book, he's got my back. That book
What?
is that book, like, so the movie doesn't really show you. The movie, it makes it seem like it's glorifying sugar. But the book, it basically makes Willy Wonka out to be the devil. He's out there
Really?
with all these kids. Yeah, it's a brilliant book. And then
Yeah.
internet, some people like you're using that metaphor, a lot of people think of the internet as junk food for the brain, as if like, before we had literature, but now we have internet, and like junk, the literature is like eating healthy food,
Yeah.
internet is junk food. I don't think that's true. I think what's junk food was TV. When I was growing up, I was addicted to TV.
Yeah.
TV is passive junk food. Internet for me has basically been literature times 10. It's
Yeah.
literature that I can participate in. Like, one of the things I say every day on Twitter, there's random people saying more brilliant stuff than Shakespeare, and all of it goes viral. And then you can curate it. Like, the internet, I'm an internet curator. That's basically what influencers are. Influencers take the wisdom of the masses and they boil it down. It's kind of like what we were talking about with Behind the Lyrics.
Yeah.
Behind the Lyrics is basically the curated media version of the stream of conscience that is Genius's community.
Yeah.
So I love the internet. I love this, the curation. I love the big stream. I love that there's zero barriers.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be a writer before the internet, and I get a lot of rejections. And I think the reason I get rejections is because, I mean, maybe it's because I was making edgy jokes, but I think part of it is also because I have a weird name.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
the internet gave me the foot in the door. Suddenly anyone can publish. And it's not just me. Who were the first users of the internet? Rappers.
Yeah.
Rappers were the
Beastie
earliest
Boy,
users
right?
on Twitter. Now they all abandoned Twitter. They all jumped to Instagram, and Instagram's the biggest one.
Yeah.
We wanted to build Genius for everything. We wanted to build Bible Genius, everything Genius. We started with rap because basically rappers are always down. Like, right now, I'm talking. So right now, I'm still connected with a lot of rappers.
Yeah.
I've been helping to drum up interest in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Helped Eric B, set up his Coinbase. You probably don't know who he is, but Eric B is basically the guy who invented rap.
Really?
Rock him were the first rappers.
Yeah. Did not know him.
I helped Crazy Bone set up his Coinbase. Crazy Bone from Bone Thugs and Harmony.
They what like, year?
Huh?
What year did you help him out?
Just now.
Just now?
Ago. Yeah. Yeah. We'll be the base god. We'll be the base god is with Bitcoin now. And he's like, he's one of the reasons we started Rap Genius. Like one of the first content, you know, I was doing like Biggie and Tupac and stuff.
Yeah.
Those contemporary artists that I was really breaking down on Genius was Lil B.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the hottest rapper on, back then it was Twitter.
Yeah.
He was just the internet rapper. Like nowadays they call it SoundCloud rappers.
Yeah.
There was no SoundCloud back then, but he basically invented SoundCloud rap.
Yeah. No, I think that's the coolest thing. Like the coolest invention is SoundCloud rap, because it's like, I think, and this is maybe a good way to like segue into like Bitcoin and stuff, but what is this like decentralization you see happening with everything in culture? You definitely see it with like rap, where you used to be like, you used to need connections, or at least music in general, because rap's the most popular.
Rap needs crypto more than any. So I invested in Coinbase. I was an angel investor in Coinbase.
Yeah.
And then Nas was the angel investor who set it off for Genius. He was also an angel investor in Coinbase. Huh. So this was a long time ago. This was in 2014.
Yeah.
And I hit him up. I'm like, yo, you need to start posting on your Twitter or your Instagram and talk about how like Bitcoin can help hip hop artists. Bitcoin can help black people. Bitcoin can help, it can help black people in America. It can help black people in Africa. And he basically told me like, what are you talking about? You know, fuck off. I'm not going to do any of that. And it was a huge missed opportunity. And then Kanye, so the fourth cryptocurrency ever created.
Yeah.
Kanye West. This was in 2013. And I interviewed the guy who invented Kanye West for Rap Genius.
Yeah.
He offered Kanye to become his partner. He offered Kanye 50% of Kanye West, and Kanye sued him and made him shut it down.
Huh.
It was such a dumb move. Like, this could have been huge.
Yeah.
Eventually, every artist should have a utility token. There can be a lot of things. Maybe it can give, for one thing, it's a way to support the artist. And another thing, it's a way to support the artist where you get points, and those points can be worth votes. So they can give you VIP status for certain things. Like if Kanye does an online concert, there's like a VIP room that's only for people who have 1 million Kanye West. There are endless possibilities, but this was a crypto project in 2013. The guy built Kanye West because the third crypto was called Dogecoin.
Yeah.
So this could have been at least as big as Dogecoin. Dogecoin is worth hundreds of millions of dollars right now.
Yeah.
So that was a big mistake. I've always wanted to talk to Kanye about crypto. My dream is for Genius to have a crypto. So Genius has IQ points. You break down lyrics on Genius, you get IQ points.
Yeah.
On Everpedia, you write articles and you get IQ, but it's an IQ token.
And you can get paid with every...
Each IQ token, it keeps going up and down. Right now, each IQ token is worth about 1/5 of 1 penny.
Sure.
But I think one day, like, so if Everpedia someday becomes worth $10 billion, Wikipedia is it's a fake bullshit nonprofit.
Yeah.
It's not a nonprofit, it's actually part of Google. But they lie.
How is it part of Google?
Because Google secretly funds them.
Really?
And they serve purposes. Yeah, it's a giant lie. But you know, like if you just wanted to say Wikipedia is worth something, you'd have to say it's worth like $50 billion.
Sure.
So if Wikipedia is someday worth $10 billion, that means each IQ token is going to be worth $1.
Yeah.
Because there's 10 billion IQ tokens. We keep on printing them, but someday there's going to be 10 billion max IQ token. And right now, it's so, like, you know, you could get hooked up. That's how it should have been for Facebook. Like, what got me passionate about the internet is what I was one of the earliest users on Facebook.
Yeah.
I was one of the earliest creators. Like, I had people who were fans of my writing on Facebook.
Huh.
And I didn't get anything. I got fame, but my dream is someday Mark Zuckerberg builds a Facebook coin.
Yeah, well, Libra,
No,
right?
well, Libra, he was saying it's just for payments. It can't be Libra, it has to be Facebook coin. And Facebook coin is for Facebook what IQ is for Everpedia. Do you
So it's like you become a
get it?
shareholder of Facebook, kind of.
Just like shares, you can vote with it, and then you get it for upvotes, you get it for traffic, you
Yeah.
know, the combination of upvotes and traffic that your content generates. And then the more you have, the more your votes matter. So if you're a big utility token holder, like I'm a big Facebook coin holder, and
Sure.
I upvote something on Facebook,
Sure.
that means the person who I upvoted gets even more Facebook coins.
Yeah. So it's kind of giving people
Also,
like
there's
you.
staking.
It's giving people like.
There's an anti-spam part of it called staking. That means when you want to write something, you give
Yeah.
a little bit of the coin just to put it out there.
I see.
So
So.
you don't put anything out unless you think that people are going to like it. So
I
you
see.
automatically gets rid of all the trolls, all the spam.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, like there's a lot of criticisms. It's not perfect, but
It seems complex to do, like to like set that up to change it from like right now it's just like, you I know you talk a lot about content, but just like to like monetize your content in a way that like when you see influencers do it, you see like maybe brand sponsorships. But for like average Joes, to like just start getting like someone who is Twitter famous, right? To start making some cash off of their writing. Seems like really, really far away from reality now.
I think it has to happen. Like it's disgusting how much money all of these tech founders have.
Yeah.
Zuckerberg has so much money, he even feels bad. I think that's why he's so passionate about crypto. He knows
Yeah.
there's something broken with the system for him to have this much money. So crypto
Yeah.
is going to change the economy. Everyone's going to be getting money from the internet. Everyone's going to own their content on the internet.
So is this like a socialist movement, you'd say, like cryptocurrencies? Because it seems kind of like.
A lot of the crypto, socialist means the state. Socialist means there's got to be a government to redistribute.
Yeah.
So a lot
So a
of
non-country socialist, like co-ownership.
it's hard to say what it is. Like a lot of the people are actually libertarians. They're
Yeah.
hardcore libertarians, and like they would be pro-Trump. Like if Trump hadn't, like a dumbass, talk shit about Bitcoin, all the crypto people would have his back, which is bad. Like, I'm trying to change that.
Sure.
I want them to, like, be humanitarians, but that's not who I'm dealing with. Like, I'm dealing with these, like, the 4chan, the incels. It's the same people who were into internet in the mid 90s
Yeah.
before Mark Zuckerberg came and made it mainstream. So,
Yeah.
if you want to try to make crypto mainstream, it's tough. There's kind of like this libertarian bent, but it is not, maybe not socialist, but the same way that the internet has been egalitarian, crypto is going to be egalitarian. The
Yeah.
internet has made huge, huge strides for making equality between people based on class, race, and gender.
Kind of going back to like blockchain. So the internet obviously blew up from the 1990s to the 2000s, right? So is in the 2020s, do you see that happening with like crypto in general and blockchain technology?
It depends when everyone gets a wallet. Right now, not that many people still even know how to use crypto. But then, so there's things where the site can use the crypto for them. And
Yeah.
Everpedia is at the cutting edge of that. So, like, I'm a huge crypto investor, but I'm still too dumb to use a wallet. I don't have a hard wallet. I don't have like a Trezor.
Sure.
I keep my crypto on Coinbase, which like any crypto OG would tell you I'm an idiot for doing.
Yeah.
But I don't care. Like I don't want to play by their weirdo rules. But someday someone's got to make these weirdo rules mainstream. So like what I do on Everpedia is we allow you to sign in with Facebook. It's a plugin called OurID. And then basically we keep track of your IQ tokens for you. And then once you've got enough, you can finally like join the big kids club and get a wallet and control it yourself.
And then kind of on the realm of like, egalitarianism in crypto, you see like the Twitter stuff happening with Trump, and it happened to you obviously, where it's like one executor can kind of have a choice in like shutting a guy down. Do you think that like with the crypto revolution, how do you see that impacting cancel culture?
Well, with crypto, it could be a problem too because of mob rule. But hopefully, it'll at least there'll be some justification to it. Right now, Twitter is not like, Twitter shuts down one of Trump's tweets just to fire up his base. And they're just so fake. And it's because secretly, the CEO of Twitter is pro-Trump.
Jack
And
Dorsey.
so, yeah, Dorsey. And also 10% of Twitter's traffic is Trump. So they actually love Trump. They actually really want him to get reelected. And then they do all this BS pandering to their employees. Twitter's the worst tech company out there. They're absolutely horrible.
You
But,
think that's a little personal, or?
also, so Dorsey is also a liar about crypto. He pretends to be Mr. Bitcoin. Like, on his Twitter bio, for a while it just said Bitcoin, and then he went on Joe Rogan's show, and they smoked weed together, and he was like, "Yo, Bitcoin is far out, man." And meanwhile, he hasn't done shit. There's no nothing connected to Bitcoin on Twitter. Square did a stupid crypto integration that no one even cares about. Meanwhile, Zuck is trying to build Libra. He's like actually making moves. So Zuck is like actually the only huge passionate believer in crypto in all of Silicon Valley, whereas Jack Dorsey is the biggest faker.
Yeah, I only really use Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. I've never really gotten into Twitter, so I guess I haven't really seen it, but I do know that like you notice it on Instagram. I don't know if it was like always this big on Twitter, but like especially after like the death of George Floyd, it seems as though like every single like institution is being really hit hard on Instagram. And it was the first time I've like experienced that. And then you kind of notice that you notice that like corporations are changing. Like, is that like, do you think that's in part because like the Instagram people are getting on top of it instead of just the traditional one third of Twitter that's anti like SJW or whatever you described it as?
That's a good point. I mean, so I'm obviously still disappointed. I don't think there's enough being done, but obviously it's just a question of degree. But it's true that this is the first time I've really seen Instagram activism, and it's better just because it delivers closer to home. Twitter was too high level. Twitter is like trying to be all brainy. It's just so hard to use. No one can even figure out how to use it. And for a while, I was really passionate on about Twitter. Like that was the thing that I blew up on. But it was crazy. It was the same day that I got blocked on Twitter, I got a check mark on Instagram. And I was like, okay, time to switch. And then the only stock I had was Twitter. I sold all my Twitter stock and I bought all Facebook stock.
What year did you do that?
This was in 2018.
Definitely a good move.
Ever
Twitter.
since then, Twitter has tanked and Facebook has blown the fuck up.
Yeah, dude, I kind of see where the controversial tagline gets like placed with you. I think it's because you don't have that much of a filter. Like definitely compared to the other guys too. Like
I did a talk for a campaign with where there was this woman. She donated to my campaign. She wanted to listen to my lecture, but she worked for Square.
Yeah, Jack Dorsey.
Your boss sucks. And then she was like, well, I have to be honest with you, I would have kicked you off of Twitter too. So I told her, okay, what's one thing that I said during this lecture that you think makes me need to get kicked off of Twitter? And her response was, you said that you judge political candidates based on their looks. Because I told her I don't like Trump because he's ugly. And I was like, you're gonna ban someone based on, and like on the one hand, I was kind of saying that as a joke. On the other hand, it's not 100% a joke. Like I've noticed my whole life that ugly people are way more likely to be like vindictive and hateful and whack. I think that's one of the reasons I think Trump is so racist is because he's so ugly. So he's like trying to look for positive things about himself. He's like, well, at least I'm white.
Yeah, I don't know, but it reminds me of like To Kill a Mockingbird, the Ewell family, right? They had nothing else going for them but being white.
That's like Trump. Trump looks why he might, I guess he's got his money too.
Yeah, dude, I totally see the controversy thing. I totally see it.
It shouldn't be. That really, it makes me upset because I really don't think I've gotten in trouble so many times. I think
Yeah.
every time I've gotten in trouble is because of this Big Brother is watching you, Joe Biden, the Fox, hypocrite, rich liberals who are secretly racist using me as a scapegoat. And I don't think I've said anything bad. Like I got into trouble for annotating the Incel Manifesto, where I want to reach out to people like that. I'm trying to the reason I became so engrossed with it is because I want to reach out to all these kids who are addicted to uppers. Their psychiatrists put them on Adderall and Vyvanse. They become suicidal. They're addicted to 4chan and Reddit. And my job is to reach out to these people and tell them, yo, don't be like that. Stop taking those drugs. Instead of just going and lurking Reddit for depressing stuff, go on Genius and break down some poetry, break down some lyrics, do something artistic. Go on Everpedia. Make a page for your favorite rapper and then show it to that rapper. The rapper will share it on social media and you'll be so proud and you'll get some IQ points for it.
Do you ever get nervous about I think it's because you share your opinion like pretty fluidly with people who I guess you don't know super well, which may be like part of the reason. But I think people are afraid of doing that, genuinely are afraid.
Well, also I had two brain surgeries, so that kind of makes you have a little bit of perspective. So at this point, I think there's a lot of people who hate me, and those people are worthless morons. And I have no respect for them. I'm never going to win them over. I'm through even trying. But I
Sure.
have a lot of people who respect me. And some of these people who respect me are cool. And some of these people who respect, a lot of these people who respect me are fucked up. They're the ones who are incels and addicted to Reddit and
Can you give like a little bit of a pitch for blockchain and why you think it's the future?
blockchain is just like the internet. So there's three stages for me. There's the internet, there's gig economy, and there's blockchain.
Yeah.
Internet made information free. Anyone can create or send information for free. Anyone can become a rapper, anyone can become a writer. The Yale Daily News can't reject my article because I have a weird sounding name. I post it on Facebook and anyone who wants can read my writing. I go and post it on my blog. Anyone who wants can read my writing. Any rapper posts their shit on SoundCloud. They don't have to get a record deal. If they blow up on SoundCloud, they can make money. Gig economy took this internet power of information and started to think, okay, how can we use this to start making it easier for people to make money? And it was a huge success. All of my angel investments are in gig economy. I'm a huge, huge believer. And it's because I'm all about simplifying work. I hate the 9 to 5. So this was this thing. People still didn't get paid that much money, and they're still getting paid using normal dollars. It's just via PayPal. That's why it can't be international. It still is US-based, it's country-based. You need to have different gig economy. All the Indian startups right now are basically clones of American gig economy. It's like this
Sure.
is the Indian Uber, this is the Indian
Yeah.
Grubhub. So it still has huge limitations, but even with these limitations, it transformed everything. Before the coronavirus, unemployment was 0%, and that was because of Uber. That was because of the gig economy. It made it so flexible that it got unemployment down to 0%. So crypto is going to be the international unlimited gig economy on steroids.
Sure.
Not even for tasks, it's for tasks that can be done just on the internet. Like I know the guy who started Swagbucks.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Like from the 90s.
Yeah.
But it was way ahead of its time because it got into the thing of paying people on the internet
Content.
for money. And then the way it would pay them, this is where it gets really fucked up. It pays you by giving you a $5 Amazon gift certificate. You
Yeah.
basically do 5 hours of work and you get a $5 Amazon gift certificate.
Yeah, which is why no one does it.
It's still, they made enough money that the founder of Swagbucks that I know is rich.
Sure.
But yeah, so crypto Swagbucks, YouTube is another one. YouTube is in some ways ahead of its time. Like it's the
Yeah.
only site that like legit people make money off of content.
Yeah.
And like, amateurs can use it. But
TikTok is kind of there too.
TikTok, but does TikTok pay you? TikTok, I thought you can only
No,
get.
I guess it's just the attention. So you get like the bread. So it's like Instagram. Like you won't get paid, you get.
That's complete bullshit. That's complete bullshit. It has to be, you
A
should be
pro.
doing TikTok IQ. You get TikTok coin, you get Instagram coin,
Yeah.
like that. And even with YouTube, if YouTube was crypto, YouTube, I'm sure it's still not international. Like one thing I've noticed, I think there's a lot more YouTube creators who are in the US and Europe. It's
Yeah,
probably
for
a
sure.
lot harder to get paid on YouTube from India.
Yeah, without a doubt, probably. I mean, it's also there, like in China, there are certain like restrictions. Like, I don't know if you've heard of Liziki, but she's like probably one of the biggest Chinese YouTubers, and she has a lot of trouble because the Chinese government could shut her down, whenever.
Well, the Great Firewall is one of the things that I think is the biggest tragedy in human civilization. And thank God India didn't do that. India could have created the Indian internet. So,
Yeah.
it's a huge advance for us that they didn't do that. And part of that is because Silicon Valley is kissing India's ass. Like, Y Combinator is taking all these Indian companies, which they should if they know it's good for them. They have to start kissing Chinese ass too. Because we need to get everyone on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, but this is where Trump really messes things up.
Oh, that's yeah, exactly. Racism and crypto. If Trump wasn't racist and Trump was pro crypto, even though he's ugly, I would be pro Trump. But yeah, he's racist and he's against crypto. And so the cool thing about crypto is crypto gives China an upper hand. China
Yeah.
is actually more powerful with crypto. So this could be an equalizer that brings down the Great
Why
Firewall.
so? Why is it more powerful then?
Because all the miners are based in China.
Ah, I see.
They just got the upper hand. So for example, the fight for crypto banks is
Yeah.
Coinbase, which I'm an investor of. That's the American one versus Binance.
Coinbase is huge, man. I don't know why you're saying you're
Yeah,
poor if you invested in
Binance is killing Coinbase.
Is it?
I'm a Coinbase investor. I wish it wasn't true, but
Isn't Binance the Winklevoss twins?
no, that's Gemini.
Gemini.
Binance is the Chinese one.
I see.
Binance is basically Chinese Coinbase.
Yeah.
Gemini is really not doing anything. But shouts out to the Winklevi. What I respect about them was they were the first Bitcoin investors who really put their money where their mouth is. Like they're the biggest Bitcoin investors. So if Bitcoin blows up, they're going to be the richest guys alive.
Yeah. So I guess I liked what you once said about progress and synthesis. Edmund Burke. Was that Edmund Burke or was that like
Burke, yeah, Burke is one. Another one is Howard Zinn. Everyone should read Howard Zinn, People's History of the United States. He's considered like the father of American socialism, but in some ways he's a conservative. Like he's a Burkean conservative.
Yeah.
And also the OG who we have to give shouts out to is Hegel.
Hegel.
Hegel came up with the word, like thesis, antithesis, synthesis.
Yeah. And then I guess kind of on that line, do you see crypto impacting the idea of capitalism as it is now?
Yes, but you do, so the way that these philosophers tie into this argument with crypto right now is don't expect too much. Crypto is still going to be co-opted. Like we use the word decentralization.
Yeah.
Decentralization means the power of crypto making us not have CEOs, not have banks, not have governments. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
There's still going to be CEOs. There's still going to be billionaires. There's still going to be banks. There's still going to be governments.
Yeah.
Crypto is going to be half-assing it. just like the internet was half-assing it, but it still is going to bring a synthesis. It still is going to bring more equality.
Yeah.
And I believe in that. Like, and Howard Zinn talks shit about this. Howard Zinn talks about, like, whenever there's something progressive, it ends up just getting half-assed. The revolutionaries get co-opted.
Yeah.
But that's how it works. And, like, there's definitely progress. I know for a fact that there's progress because my family came here from Iran. And yeah. America is not perfect. I'm working as hard as I can to make America better. But America is 10 times better than the shithole country that my parents moved.
Yeah.
You're like, thank God they didn't stay there.
Yeah.
Iran is miserable. And the reason why America is better than Iran is because of progress. So that means there is progress.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with you. But so, like, rappers in tech, you mentioned that, like, when Kanye West first met with the Twitter guys, they, like, kind of were using him. I think your words may have been as, like, a slave to, like, text, constantly tweet at these, like, parties, and he was doing it for free. And I think that that's maybe something that's impacted him, like, him giving himself away for free because he was a celebrity.
Yeah, I need to talk to Kanye. He's got a lot of phobia of tech. Even though he's passionate about tech, he's got phobias of tech.
Yeah.
For example, Genius didn't give him equity for redesigning our homepage. Ron Conway actually told us, Ron Conway's an investor in Genius too. He's like one of the biggest Silicon Valley investors. He's the one who told us the story about him being forced to tweet. Kanye West was this huge opportunity where he forced the guy to shut it down.
Yeah.
And I think what started all of this was his first investment. So he made one, to my knowledge, he made one tech investment, and that was in a company called Turntable FM. And Turntable FM was the bomb. It was basically a music social media that was like a game. And it was a game of who can be the best DJ. So I was addicted to it. A lot of people were addicted to it. And then it shut down. It shut down, and everyone was like, why'd this happen? So I think Kanye was like, wait, I invested in that, and you're telling me it shut down. So, like, and I think that's why he didn't invest in Genius. Like, with us, he became best friends with our investor, Ben Horowitz. He redesigned our homepage. He invited us to his engagement party, but he never invested. Like, you know, we got Nas to invest, we got Pharrell to invest, we got Eminem to invest, but I always wanted Kanye to invest, and he didn't invest. So I think it's because he got burned by Turntable FM.
Yeah, and, like, how does that play into, like, the idea of your content? Like, he created all that content for Twitter, or even, like, Trump is creating so much content for Twitter, and they're getting no rewards for it. And, like, that seems like it's something you're passionate about.
I don't know about no rewards. Like, you still get fame, which is very, very important. Like, my career is based on being an early user of Facebook. They didn't pay me, and I helped them blow up. But I'm basically friends with Tom through Facebook. Tom was one of the fans of the funny stuff I would write on Facebook.
Yeah.
And he ended up starting Genius with me.
Did you ever feel as though, like, because you're just, like, such a kid, you know, you were what, like, in your early 30s and you were meeting, like, multi-billionaires and, like, famous rappers and stuff, like, did that ever hit you?
Well, I don't, the main thing is, I don't think I should be. So, like, I wrote this article saying that there should be a black person who's the CEO of Genius. And some people were like, you should be the CEO, you know, just like how Steve Jobs came back to Apple. And, like, no modesty. Like, you know, I'm not a modest person. I do not think I should be the CEO. I think it should be someone who's really, really part of hip hop culture. Like, I love hip hop culture. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert. I haven't devoted my life to it. Like, I've rapped. I've been a rapper, but I'm not, I don't think I'm good. I've never, like, sold any tickets. So I think it's good that I founded the company. I think that since I founded it, I should get paid. There should be an exit so that I can get paid, because everyone thinks that I started Genius, so I might be rich. And I'm like, actually, I have to steal from Whole Foods to survive. So give me my fucking money. And then after someone buys it, so, like, my dream is Apple should buy it for $3 billion. Same price they paid for Beats by Dre.
Yeah.
They buy Genius for $3 billion. I get hooked up. They make Behind the Lyrics only be on Apple Music. They cut it off from Spotify. Everyone switches over from Spotify to Apple Music because they're addicted to behind the lyrics. And then they put Black CEO in charge. Rob Markman and Kanye, if I have my way. Another or Steve Stout. Steve Stout's on our board. Maybe just make him the executive.
But specifically with this podcast, I think our listeners are actually 60% female and
Wow.
40% male.
That's
So,
the internet. That's also true of Genius's users, Everypedia's users.
yeah. So, I mean, like, what is advice you'd give for just, like, I guess, like that demographic of just like kids who are kind of like me, don't really know like the ins it seems like Silicon Valley. I kind of wanted to pick your brain a little bit more on that, but it's like a pretty incestuous place. And there's a lot of like backstabbing or whatever. And like finance, I think kind of as you were saying, it's not like, finance or real estate, those are like, it's not really like cutting edge. You're not working on ideas. But what would you give like advice for just kids who are maybe not stereotypically like white males entering the tech industry? And maybe you're not technical people too.
Yeah, well, I mean, you raised an interesting point that's connected to this, that is that the majority of the internet is female. Women use the internet far more than men do, just like it was the same way with TV. Women are smarter, so they're more into the intellectual world that I'm obsessed with. So for me, it makes perfect sense. And then you don't see that reflected with founders, executive, Mark Zuckerberg is a dude. The guy who started both of my companies, both of them are dudes, although they're very feminine dudes. But part of it is because women don't create as much content. And that's always been something that's something that I try to encourage, like more content creation
Yeah.
for everyone. Like not 90% of people on the internet don't create content.
Yeah.
And that is lamentable. I think, and a lot the people who get, are addicted to coffee and uppers, who I was talking about, who,
Which is both men and women, by the way.
yeah.
Yeah.
And but it's people who don't create content.
Yeah.
Those are the lurkers of the internet. So the best part about the internet is that you don't only listen, you also talk. And
Yeah.
I'm all about just trying to get everyone to talk. I try to get everyone to use my ad. I think everyone should make an Everpedia page for themselves. You meet so many people who are like, I don't want an Everpedia page. Why not? I'm not important enough. And it's like, as soon as someone says that to me, that's basically how I know that you're a loser. I don't want to even do it. Because, I mean, come on. Like, be part of this world. This is a world of the mind. It's not a world of losers. Like maybe more losers use it just because they're afraid of reality, but it's also the world for photographers, for painters, for musicians, for poets.
Yeah.
Anything intellectual you want to do, the internet is your world.
Yeah, no, I think that's the reality now. Like I think everyone's on it.
Join us. And I love women. I'm ultra feminist. I'm sad that I'm a man. I hate all men. I think that they're scum. Not joking, I'm serious.
Sure.
But we need women to create more content because the disparity of female, more women are on the internet than men,
Yeah.
and then fewer women are creating content than men.
What are the barriers for women entering like tech?
Well, the side I'm connected with is startups and founders. And for that, the disparity is even bigger than in regular tech. There are way, way fewer female founders. And part of it is because of what I'm saying. Like to get something started, like when we started Genius, we didn't think it was going to be a company. It was kind of an art project, just like how I was doing these other artistic things, like writing stuff on Facebook, writing stuff on my blog.
Yeah.
I was writing stuff on my own app, Genius. And it's because I was creating content. I was creating content for free, and then it started to get traction, so we decided to raise money for the content.
Yeah.
That's basically how you become a founder. You become a founder by creating content. That's
Yeah.
why everyone needs to create content. It also keeps off depression. It makes you not
Yeah.
depressed. rest, it stops a lot of the negative effects of the internet.
No, I totally agree with you. So, advice for kids getting into tech without a technical background?
Ooh, don't think you're going to be able to do anything. Like, I'm trying to get my idea made and I'm famous and I still can't get it made. The truth is that I started someone else's idea. Someone else had the idea, someone built it, and I was using it for free, and me using it got traction. So that's what you have to do. You have to find something that someone built, use it for free, and get traction and get other people to use it.
To
And
be a
that's how you can.
marketer.
But if you have an idea, useless. Like right now, I have an idea, it's not getting me anywhere. And if someone else builds something that's not my idea and they say that I can join it, I'm not going to say, sorry, I'm going to wait until I build Facebook for college. I'm joining whatever they have because it's all about building it. Pitch deck is useless. If you're
What is
trying to,
useless? What is useless?
pitch deck is
Pitch deck.
100% useless. If
Sure.
you're trying in any way, shape, or form to raise money or even call it a real company before you already have a lot of users on the product, you're just being an idiot. You're being one of these faker programmers. And that's the majority. The majority of people are like, hey, bro, I've got a pitch deck. I want a technical co-founder. Where can I look? I heard that this guy in Bangalore told me that if I give him $10,000, he'll build it for me. That's like if you truly know you're a moron. If someone in a foreign country tells you to pay them money to build it for you, then you're the biggest moron of all time. Because they're just they're, how is that actually going to turn into a company?
I couldn't tell you, man. I don't
It's
know.
going to scale, and then you're going to hit up the guy. You're like, hey, dude in Bangalore, dude in
Eastern.
Belarus, Eastern Europe, I need you to do some more work for me. And then he's like, okay, now I've got you by the balls. So it doesn't work like that. You gotta have the most important rule is the person who built it has to be the CEO. Tom is the CEO of Genius. Sam, who's the guy who built Everpedia, is the CEO of Everpedia. Of course, people are gonna get confused because now I'm saying he has to leave. But it's because now we're not a startup anymore. Now we're a big grown-up thing that everyone knows about. It's not growing anymore. It's not changing. So it's time for Apple to just buy it and just put just a CEO. But up until now, up until I wrote my article last month, I thought it's good that Tom's the CEO because Tom's the one who built it.
Are you an optimistic guy?
Very, very. I'm a Panglossian. That's why I think crypto is going to help. That's why I think the internet is helping.
Are you
That's why.
optimistic on people?
Yeah, totally.
I don't know, man. It seems like you kind of dislike a lot of people, but I guess that's kind of what.
To say all my hate just because these are people who won't even engage me. And then the people I'm hating are the rich. Like once you get into just like everyone, large groups of people I love. And here, let me talk about the people I love. I love Mark Zuckerberg. Fake news made it sound like I have beef with him. It 180 degrees took what I'm saying out of context to make it sound like I have beef with him. Started me getting in trouble. I love that guy. He's the Social Network is the reason why I started working full time on Genius.
Great movie.
Facebook is the reason why I became passionate about the internet. I'm a huge Facebook shareholder. I'm still always sending bug reports for Facebook and Instagram to my friend who works there. He's passionate about crypto, even though it challenges his business model. It challenges the thing that's made him the second richest guy in the world. But it's because he doesn't care about rich and getting rich. He cares about making the world better.
Final question. How did you rebound from Who Is America and Sasha pranking you?
Good, man. Yeah, well, that's what caused I had a seizure, which caused my second brain surgery a month after that episode aired. He, like, totally fucked me. And like, they told me that I'm meeting with an Italian investor who's going to connect us with Bill Gates. And this is when Everpedia had raised no money. So I was just trying to meet with Bill Gates to raise money. he told me to dance black, so I danced the way that I dance at parties. And I'm like, I didn't know that I have it. Like, what am I going to do? Be like, I think that's rude, Italian guy. And then the really fucked up part was that he made me wear a bikini.
Yeah.
He did all this dirty stuff. He put his pants into my bikini. So I wrote an article after the thing happened saying that this was like rape. I felt like I was raped. But this got me a lot of enemies. Like, ultimately, like, people got really offended that I was saying that I felt like I had been violated on the show. And I realized that it basically hurt me that I was so negative. I should have been more positive about it and just taken it as a joke. I think part of the reason why I freaked out so much was because of my fucked up Persian immigrant upbringing. That's what made me feel a lot of sexual shame about being on TV in a bikini and stuff. So that was another thing that kind of alienated me from Persians. It was kind of like a wake-up call that I need to like get away from Persians, get away from LA.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
No, well, now I'm not sorry. So for one thing, that was my 15 minutes of fame. Before Sacha Baron Cohen, I was internet famous, but I had never been on TV. And being on TV, like TV is still, unfortunately, way more powerful than the internet. Sacha Baron Cohen is what got me my Wikipedia page. The reason why I started Everpedia was they wouldn't let me have a Wikipedia page. They deleted my Wikipedia page. So I'm like, I want to build another Wikipedia where I'm allowed to have a page. But then once the Sacha Baron Cohen thing happened, they finally decided that they have enough like hater ass shit to put together like a hater Wikipedia page for me. And I'm kind of the philosophy that notoriety can, if you're a good person, notoriety can lead to fame. The notoriety still gets me exposure, and I can use my exposure to get people to stop drinking caffeine, to stop eating sugar, to stop polluting, to use my apps, basically to do all of these things that I think are actually better for humanity. And so a lot of times I ask my, you know, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, if I could do it over again, would I have not been on Sacha Baron Cohen? And ultimately the answer is no. Like, it happening led to me getting a Wikipedia page. Me getting a Wikipedia page led to me like actually being known kind of as a famous person. That's what led to basically Instagram and Twitter are both analyzing me, like seeing if they want me on the platform. The same day, Twitter kicked me off, but Instagram gave me a blue check mark. Yeah. And now this blue check mark on Instagram gives me more power than I've ever had. All these rappers are hitting me up. They're like, yo, I want a blue check mark. I want to be on Genius. I want a yellow screen. I tell them, make an Everpedia page. If your Everpedia page is good, you can get a blue check mark. Put your lyrics on Genius. If you put your lyrics on Genius, you annotate them and your fans are into it, you can get a Genius video interview. So it's helped me with my career by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
And then also it helped me figure out that this Persian immigrant mentality of like, you know, sexual shame is really fucked up.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Hey, so no, it's all good. Originally, I have to say, though, the only funny thing I think Sacha Baron Cohen has done was Ali G. Like, Ali G, that was his rapper character, hilarious. He actually gave a speech at Harvard once, which was legendary. Like, I annotated Ali G's speech at Harvard.
That's some irony.
He fucked with me. He gave me a brain tumor, but ultimately, it's all good. It led to my growth. As you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Just like coronavirus, at first I was freaking the fuck out, but ultimately I think God basically created this just so that he could make Bitcoin speed up.
I don't know about that. We'll see, man.
It will. The internet, coronavirus is gonna make the internet and Bitcoin grow.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like Sacha Baron Cohen made me grow.
I guess we'll see, right? We'll see how it goes. But thank you so much for your time, man.
For sure. Yeah, it was a pleasure.